honestly, just a win isn't enough. The Cowboys need a healthy victory. I spoke about it a couple weeks ago, and people poo-poo it, where I said the Cowboys, this is basically a must-win game when they went to Seattle, because they couldn't get on the emotional roller coaster and not be able to know that they could trust the Cowboys' new coaching staff, the new regime. And lo and behold, what happened? They went into Seattle, they fell behind early, they came back, they weren't able to pull off the comeback, and they basically stopped trusting what they were being told by their coaches. But we're not done giving out the fades, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no, 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 no. We have more fades to go. And let's go high level. Let's go ahead and talk about the big picture. Stephen Jones. Stephon Jones. Stevie, if I can call you that. You got to catch this fade, bro. You got to catch it. Defense digs in. Cowboys back on solid footing. And that digs in is with two G's. My main man, Trevon Diggs, is going to get not just his first interception. He is also going to get... What's good, ladies and gentlemen? It is time for another episode of the Catch This Fade podcast. This is episode 11 for season 5. Bad news for some of you. Pat is not going to be able to join us for this show. It's going to be me rolling solo from state to state. Get your belly on. You know we always have the references. But he has some things that he has to take care of. He wanted everybody to know how much he regrets not being here to catch all of these fades that I was going to lob at him. He's pretty much gotten used to being on the receiving end of all the fades. It's kind of what we do. We've been doing this for several years. Just started bringing the video to you this season. But, you know, he appreciates being on the receiving end of all the fades. So he's just going to have to take these remotely for the time being. We got a jam-packed show for everybody today. A lot of stuff that we need to cover heading into this game against the Giants. So, you know, sorry for the short pre-roll. You're going to see me looking off to the side to see my rundown every now and again. I normally do that when Pat's, you know, talking. I normally look to the side when he's doing that, so you don't really notice it as much. But seeing how I'm solo, you're going to be able to see all of that kind of stuff. So bear with me on that. We're still going to have a great show for all of the people that are listening, all of the people that are watching. This is our Thursday, Friday episode, which means that the free portion of the show will be available for those who do not subscribe. They won't get to see any of this beautiful kind of politicking that we got going on right now, but they will get the first part of the show just so they know what they're missing, that you guys already know you're getting on a regular basis, two times a week. Monday, Tuesday, we record. Thursday, Friday, we record. We have the show. We have the video up. We have the audio. You guys get full access all the time if you're watching this right now. We also have the Catch This Fade poker tournament, which we're going to talk about a lot more next week. We're still working out the details. We're going to do a monthly poker tournament, whereas if you're a member, if you're a friend of the show at the $10 tier, you get a discount on the admission fee into the tournament. It's going to be $25 for everybody that goes towards the prize pool. There's going to be a $10 maintenance fee for everybody that will be waived for anybody that's on the Catch This Fade Friends of the Tier, Friends of the Show tier. So if you're at $3, if you upgrade to the $10 for just another $7, you then get the $10 discount for the poker tournament every month. This one, I believe we're going to do it on October 24th. So we have a couple weeks left before we really get that going. We'll see how it works out. Hopefully we get, you know, 20, 30 people to start off with. That'll be a great first showing for a tournament. Prize pool, all of the money in the prize pool will go to the contestants. Like I said, $25 for that. Basically, anybody that signs up for the poker tournament, you might as well just go ahead and sign up for the Friend of the Show tier, so you get access to all of the stuff that we're doing, me and Pat are doing on an every week basis. So without further ado, let's go ahead and kick this show off. Let's get things started. All right, all right, all right. You are now rocking with the best. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to another exciting, exhilarating episode of the Catch This Fade podcast. I am, of course, your host, KD Drummond. You can find me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. And Pat's not here. Pat has something that he has to take care of. He apologizes profusely to all of the Catch This Fade supporting audience. He loves y'all to death. He really wishes he could be here for today, but it's going to be me rolling solo from state to state. Trust me, you're going to be in good hands because we have a lot to cover ahead of this Week 5 matchup against the New York Giants. We're going to talk about, obviously, Jason Garrett's return to the Cowboys. We're going to talk about something that was asked to me when I did a radio spot on 105.3 The Fan earlier this week about possibly moving on from the higher priced, the higher pedigree contracts that are on the Cowboys table right now on their ledger. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to break down the Giants game. I have a couple more faves to give out based on the performance from last week. Definitely got to get into that. And of course, welcome to everybody that's enjoying the free portion of this show. Every week, you know, our subscribers on patreon.com/catchthisfade, they get it all. The $3 tier gets all of the audio, two shows a week. The $10 tier gets the video, the pre-roll, the behind the scenes, all of that kind of stuff. In addition to that, if you're listening free right now, we are going to be doing a Catch This Fade No Limit Hold'em Poker Tournament later on in the month. If you are a friend of the show, the $10 tier, if you're on that tier, you will get access for a cheaper price to the tournament. We will work out all the details. So definitely, if you're listening to this, you want to subscribe. The benefits are just coming out of everywhere. You will not be disappointed with what you're going to get if you go ahead and contribute that $10 a month. Small price to pay for the amount of content, the amount of entertainment that Pat and I give you weekly. Now, I'm going to try to hold this down on my own. I've done this show by myself more than a few times. I actually did an entire season, but nothing's right when Pat isn't here, so you'll have to basically forgive me for any of the inconsistencies that we're going to have in this show, but we're going to try to make it through. All right, Cowboys, 1-3 on the year. Just a horrible, horrible performance when it came to how they looked against the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. They fell behind 41-14. We already gave out fades last week. We have a lot more to get into this week, but I wanted to start by turning the attention to the Giants game, because as is always the case, you're only as good as your next game. So the Cowboys have an opportunity to play a team that is 0-4 on the season, looks pretty lifeless, but there are going to be some pitfalls. And first and foremost, we have to talk about the fact Jason Garrett is returning. And not only is he returning to coach against the Cowboys, but the Giants are coming into AT&T Stadium. We all know that the Giants first christened AT&T Stadium. They won that game. Eli Manning signed the wall. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Jason Garrett was home in AT&T Stadium for 10 years. So if you don't think that the guy that they left on the hook in January, dangling in the wind while they were interviewing coaches behind his back, allowing him to still meet with players and meet with, you know, personnel and all of that kind of stuff that they had going on, that everybody was scratching their head like, what are y'all doing right now? Everybody felt that way. I'm sure Jason Garrett felt that way until they signed Mike McCarthy to be the new head coach. Then he was finally released out of his deal. You know he's on revenge. You know that man wants to come into AT&T Stadium and kick Mike McCarthy's ass. It's nothing personal against McCarthy except for maybe – the playoff matchups that they had, yeah, that might have something to do with it. But more to the point, he wants to show Jerry and Stephen Jones that they made a mistake. And that's human nature. You can't blame the guy for wanting to come in here and do what everybody would dream of being able to do. If you ever got fired from a job, you know that you wanted to prove to your boss that they made a mistake. That's human nature, right? Everybody can agree with that. Here's the issue. The Giants aren't good. Jason Garrett's offense, not good. He received a lot of blame. And I'll be the first to admit, I was on the roller coaster. There were years where I thought that Jason Garrett definitely should have been fired. I wanted him fired after 2013. I wanted him fired after, I believe it was 2017. I didn't believe that they should have gone into the 2019 season with him as a lame duck coach. I felt that was irresponsible of the Jones to put them in that situation. But the man has pride. And for as conservative and predictable as his offense is in New York, and they're missing their best weapon, there's no Saquon Barkley, all of the things that they had planned basically centered around using him as a workhorse and using him in both the run game and the pass game, all of that is out the window. But there were times where Cowboys Nation, and Dalton Miller brought this up, my good friend Dalton Miller on Twitter, make sure you're following him. He said the Cowboys have been bullied into things by the fan base before. There was a time where we talked about them being too conservative and they started rolling out trick plays. I have no doubt about it. This is going to be the last stand, the Alamo, whatever you want to call it. If the Jason Garrett New York Giants, excuse me, Joe Judge is a head coach, Jason's just the offensive coordinator. If the Jason Garrett New York Giants are only going to win one game in this putrid 2020 season, best believe they want it to be Sunday, week 5 at AT&T Stadium. I think they're going to pull out all the stops. They watched the tape. They saw what Cleveland was able to do with the trick plays, the reverses, the end arounds, the wide receiver passes, all of that kind of stuff. And they are going to go deep in their bag in order to confuse the already confused Cowboys secondary. It's not good right now. Trevon Diggs is by far the best player in their secondary, and he's a rookie who is showing obvious rookie groin pains. He makes spectacular plays that show you the kind of thing, the kind of player that he could be moving forward. But all in all, we know the fact that Trevon Diggs was a rookie and he's been exposed on more than one occasion. It's just facts. It's no hate. It's just facts. I love Diggs. I love the pick. I love what he's going to be. But he's a number one corner right now, and he does not have the experience to be a number one quarter. So there's corners. So there's growing pains. The other issue that I have with this game is that an old foe who kind of really loves, really loves to stick it to the Cowboys is coming along with Jason Garrett. Not only is Jason Garrett going to be looking for revenge, but he's bringing Golden Tate with him. Now, I know what you're saying. Golden Tate isn't a great receiver anymore, and he has issues with who's throwing him the ball. The Giants offense hasn't scored a touchdown since week two, 14-22, left in the second, in the fourth quarter. Three touchdowns on the year. Two passing, one rushing. Abysmal. But I'm still worried about what Jason Garrett cooks up for Golden Tate. I am. And I'm scarred. I know I'm not the only one. I'm scarred. These first 4 weeks, they really could be 0-4. Yeah, they had chances to win. They did win the Atlanta game. They had a chance to win against Seattle. It came down to the wire a little bit with a monumental fourth quarter comeback where they scored three touchdowns and made 3 2-point conversions to cut the lead, and then they gave it right up. Alden Smith, man, if you just didn't stop. He hesitated just for 1 second, and that allowed Beckham to get to the sideline. But regardless, the Cowboys have issues. I fear, even as ridiculously bad as the Giants offense is, that they are going to pull out all the stops. They might never, ever have the opportunity to pull off an upset the rest of this season like they do on Sunday. And that makes me fearful. We're going to talk about the point spread and all of that kind of stuff a little bit later in the show. But let's talk about the really big issues of what we're facing. The Giants, I already alluded to it. They don't have Saquon Barkley. They have Devontae Freeman. They got Gallman. They got Deion Lewis. It's a kind of a three-headed monster. None of them are really spectacular. Freeman was on the street after being booted out of Atlanta. The rest of the guys are just guys right now. Deion Lewis used to be a great two-way threat. He's older now. Gallman is a nice little change of pace, fill-in type of guy. None of them on their own scare you. The issue is that the Giants are left-handed when they run. They have a much better yard per carry when they run into their behind their left tackle or to the edge of the left tackle than they do up the middle or against the right side, or their right side against the left side of the opposing defense, which means that the run defense of Alden Smith is going to come into play in this game. And for all of the talk, all of the well-deserved talk of Alden Smith being in competition for comeback player of the year in 2020, he's kind of showing us the same issues that we saw last year with Robert Quinn, where getting to the quarterback is first and foremost his priority, and the run is actually taking a back seat. Run defense is actually taking a back seat to what he's doing for the passing game, for the pass rush. So I'm a little bit concerned. I'm hopeful that he'll be able to turn that on, use his physical overpowering nature in order to stop the run and shut that down, because Daniel Jones is Basura. And the only way that the Cowboys can give up this game to the trick plays is if they're not being disciplined on defense. Now, of course, all of that is a daisy chain. If the run is not being stopped up front, then you have a very eager secondary who keeps their eyes in the backfield and wants to come up and kind of get out of the integrity of the defense and make plays where they're not really asked to be making these plays. The secondary is the last line of defense. Obviously, you need to pay attention to the run, pass, and which way the offense is going. But the Cowboys' defense has not been disciplined. They have to be able to stop the run so that the guys in the back seven, and that includes Jalen Smith, we'll talk about him in a second, but primarily the secondary and the last, you know, the last line of defense, that they don't get sucked up trying to help against a run game that's not very good. It's all interactive. What the front four does, front three, whatever you want to call it, depending on 30, 40 front, what they do impacts the back seven. And the Cowboys have to be able to stop the run with their front four in this game, or else Daniel Jones could come out and do something that he really hasn't done in his, I believe, 16 games, 16 starts, 17 games of his career. So let's talk about Daniel Jones. The Cowboys absolutely have to pressure him. There's no question about it. Aldon Smith has to get there. DeMarcus Lawrence has to get there. And he's a full participant so far this week in practice, so that's a good thing. Everson Griffin has to get there. Now, Griffin doesn't have any stats on the year. He's playing. He's not getting stats. He's getting pressures. He's actually up there. He has a second-best pass rusher productivity rating behind Aldon Smith, actually better than DeMarcus Lawrence. Lawrence has been a stud stopping the run, but he's not getting to the quarterback. We all see that. Everson Griffin is getting back there. He's getting pressures, but he's not getting hits. He's not getting sacks. He's not doing what he was paid to come in here and do. He has to step up. The defensive interior of the team, nah, not happening. It's going to have to come from those three guys. And if they get to them, they can cause problems. They can cause problems. Daniel Jones is a turnover machine. All he does is cough the ball up. He has, in 16 starts, 17 interceptions. He has, in 16 starts, 21 fumbles. That's right, 38 turnover events. Now, all of the fumbles weren't recovered by the defense, but he coughed the ball up 21 times, 17 interceptions, 38 turnover events in just 16 games. That's more than two per game. The Cowboys have to capitalize. They have to pressure him. They have to force him to turn the ball over. And if they do that, they should be able to come out of this with a healthy victory. Honestly, just a win isn't enough. The Cowboys need a healthy victory. I spoke about it a couple weeks ago, and people poo-pooed it, where I said the Cowboys, this is basically a must-win game when they went to Seattle, because they couldn't get on the emotional roller coaster and not be able to know that they could trust the Cowboys' new coaching staff, the new regime. And lo and behold, what happened? They went into Seattle. They fell behind early. They came back. They weren't able to pull off the comeback. And they basically stopped trusting what they were being told by their coaches. Now, I've made no bones about it. Mike Nolan has been my foil since they signed him back in January. I never liked the signing. But last week was a transition from it to being a scheme issue to it being a player issue. The issue last week was the players not doing their job. Everything works together. You interact with everybody. The players have to maintain. I don't care how bad the scheme is. You have to play within the scheme, because if Joe Bobby over here is playing within the scheme and Billy Johnson over here is playing outside of the scheme, you're going to have a problem and you're going to have all of this confusion. Xavier Woods talked about it a little bit this week, and I know he's going to get skewered. We actually have an article up about him saying that you don't play full on in the NFL 100% of the time. Everybody knows that, you don't say it. But one of the things that he talked about was basically being able to trust that everybody knows what everybody is supposed to be doing. He basically said much of the breakdown in the secondary, and I'm pretty sure he was alluding mostly to the breakdowns in the Seattle game. There were a couple breakdowns that, you know, we saw Darian Thompson on the wide receiver pass. He got benched. They brought him down to Ben Wilson. But mostly the secondary is thinking that player X is seeing things one way and player Y is diagnosing things a completely different way. And that has to do with pre-snap reads and the ability to identify what the offense is going to try to do to you. That has to do with not knowing the scheme, but it's an individual responsibility. I talked about a lot on my radio spot this week with 105.3 The Fan. It's a team game with individual accountability. That means that, yes, everybody on the team is supposed to be doing their part. However, you have to be able to account for what the guy next to you is doing in order to do your job correctly. And the Cowboys haven't been able to do that thus far. So with that, we're going to wrap up this early portion of the show, the free portion of the show. I hope everybody that's here on iTunes or whatever it's called now, Apple Pods or Blurberry or any of the other ways, Spotify, any of the other ways that you're listening to our free pod, please believe that we have so much more in store. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Cowboys' defense, We're going to talk about the money aspect of things, whether or not the Cowboys should be interested in trading people, releasing people in the near future, all of that kind of stuff. We have so much more to talk about. Make sure you subscribe on patreon.com/catchthisfade. Catch this fade. If you're already a subscriber, we will be right back for more of this show.